信税についてどう思いますか？なぜ社
What do you think about this so-called single tax? Really, what a genius idea. Why not take more money from people who are already struggling, right? Much easier than actually solving problems. If the government had any sense, they'd use the excess taxes they collect to support people with kids. Instead, they create this ridiculous tax on singles. But hey, no money for that, so let's just blame the singles, right? Instead of creating a tax just for singles, why not use the same system to help families with kids? People in Japan earn around 230 million yen in their lifetime and pay about 45 million in taxes. But, yeah, let's make singles pay for all that because that's much simpler. And when people have kids, they contribute about 40 to 50 million yen in taxes, which boosts the GDP by 200 million. But of course, no one talks about that. Let's just keep blaming the singles because, clearly, they have nothing better to do.
Hello everyone. Recently there was news in Japan that sparked widespread discussion on our internet. It says that Japan is considering a single tax policy that has already entered the deliberation stage in parliament. If approved, single people without children will be taxed annually by the government starting in 2026. As soon as the policy was announced, as expected, there were many complaints in Japan, with an opposition rate of 42%. Significantly higher than the 32.8% support rate. But the focus isn't on the reaction of their netizens. It's about how our netizens, upon seeing this, also found it completely absurd, with reactions including but not limited to sadness, anger, tragedy, and madness. So I went to research more about this single tax. In fact, it's not just singles without children who pay. A more accurate description would be that anyone who has to pay health insurance will have an additional charge. If we translate the original Japanese term, it would be something like child support and childcare fee. But its purpose is very clear, to subsidize families with children to support them. It's a measure against the low birth rate, aimed at helping more people have and raise children. In other words, this money will be paid and used for others to raise their children. If you don't marry or have kids, you won't benefit from this, which basically means you're giving away money for free. To sum it up, that's why everyone feels that, in essence, this is a single tax. So, how much is this charge? It is proportional to income and will gradually increase. In the first year of the policy, 2026, someone with an annual income of 4 million yen will pay approximately 400 yen per month, or 4,800 yen per year. In the future, the proportional increase might not be clear to everyone, so let's convert it to dollars. Essentially, someone with an annual income of $24,000 will pay $33 per year, and someone with $40,000 will pay $61 per year. Objectively, is that a lot of money? Actually, no, right? It's the price of a meal at a restaurant. But why does it sound so unpleasant? Even though this is a policy from another country, it makes us feel uncomfortable. In fact, if we put ourselves in their shoes, we feel that as a single person, while married people with children get more benefits, you have to pay a single tax to support other people's kids. So you ask, why, right? Being single is my choice, my right. It's not like I did something wrong. Why does it feel like I'm being punished? Yes, that's where the real discomfort is, the feeling of being treated differently, of being discriminated against. Being single seems like a mistake. Because I'm single, I have to pay. So the discomfort isn't really about paying a few hundred more a year, but about how singles still have to carry an additional mental burden, making them feel marginalized. In fact, this kind of differentiated treatment goes far beyond the single tax. Many things in our lives subtly make singles feel marginalized. For example, a young woman in Chengdu, when applying for a job, was asked, "Do you have a boyfriend?" The young woman said no, and because of that, she was rejected. The employer justified it by saying that at 25 and single, this indicated she surely had social skills issues. I've even seen girls buy flowers for themselves and be asked, "Why not find a boyfriend to give them to you?" Right? That's also irritating. And most commonly, during the holidays, when singles are criticized by relatives. Because they don't have a family, even people who have nothing to do with their life give advice, as if implicitly suggesting that being single doesn't grant you certain things, that marriage and family are essential parts of a person's value. If you don't have them, it seems like you're less. That's why I think these costs of being single have a much bigger psychological impact than the financial one. This subtle but constant pressure makes singles feel isolated, angry, and even ashamed, as if they are being forced to admit that happiness and satisfaction can only be achieved through marriage, and that being single is a failure of ability or value. That's what really bothers people. Well, what to do when you're bothered? Actually, what we're seeing now is that many people are choosing a rebellious resistance. The more marginalized they are, the more pressured to marry, the more implicitly charged for being single, the less they want to get married or have kids, showing a silent protest against the current environment. It's understandable. In this context, implementing policies like the single tax to encourage marriage and childbirth doesn't make sense, right? But if we dig deeper, does this policy really encourage marriage and childbirth, or to what extent? I think from the policy and the public's reaction, it likely has no utility. And not just in Japan. Before this, many Western countries tried it, and it didn't work. For example, the government immediately gives a subsidy of 948 euros, about $1,000. Then, every month, there's also a subsidy of at least 86 euros. If there are three children, it can go up to 300 euros per month. And for stay-at-home mothers, it's even more. Someone calculated that, in France, with three children, it's possible to receive about 900 euros a month without problems, and this continues until the children reach adulthood. Also, with free basic health and education, raising a child practically costs nothing. Even with these incentives, the National Institute of Statistics and Economic Studies in France reported in July 2023 that the birth rate fell by 8.6% compared to July 2022, with the daily number of births reaching its lowest level in 30 years. Besides France, other countries like South Korea, Singapore, Russia, Germany, and Sweden are also in the same situation. From this comparison of policies and effects in different countries, only Russia and Germany saw a slight increase in the birth rate, while all the others fell. Considering the Japanese public's reaction to this news, I see no reason to believe that the single tax will make everyone rush to get married and have children. And I think they don't believe it either. Well, even if this policy doesn't encourage singles to marry, could giving money influence those on the fence, those undecided about having children? This question is more specific. The logic behind the childbirth subsidy is simple. You have a child, and the government gives you money. This really only encourages those who want children, but cannot financially afford to raise them. Is this group large? Actually, no, it's pretty small. Although many people on the internet say they can't have children because it's expensive, when they say can't raise, they aren't talking only about food and shelter, right? No. It's the competition in education, which has no limits. If there's competition, there's effort. If there's effort, you commit. To not commit, it's impossible. So the food must be good, the bed must be big, and there are expensive music, programming, sports courses, vacation trips to see the world, and then studying abroad. Raising a child is one thing. Raising them well is another. If you say, I don't want any of that, just the basics until college. Does it work? No way. To be direct, when they can't compete with their peers and come back to depend on you, what will you do? Actually, in traditional societies, raising a child was an investment. When they grew up, they would take care of you. But now it's different. Raising a child has gone from being an investment to consumption. People no longer seek the child for old age. So, in this case, what do you gain by having a child? In the video, What Those Who Still Want Children Think, we said that many people seek happiness in raising children, but the cost is very high. Statistically, raising a child from birth to marriage costs on average $100,000. In large cities, that number can reach $50,000. In smaller cities, it's cheaper, but the income is also lower. In the end, it's the same. Isn't this consumption? Although everyone knows that birth rates are beneficial to society, as an ordinary person, it's hard to take responsibility for the development of society. Especially when personal futures are uncertain, people think, if I have a child now, the risk is even greater. Many people, out of aversion to this risk, don't want to have children. Normally, living alone is manageable, but with a family of three or four, the pressure is unimaginable. This isn't just me saying it, it's what many people actually express. I work my whole life to raise a child, but since I can't provide enough resources or a good education, when they grow up, for not marrying or having kids, I'll still have to pay the single tax. It's a never-ending cycle, very ironic. So when they say can't raise, they're really saying they can't raise well, not that they can't keep the child alive. And apparently, the single tax, or other forms of subsidy, only help with keeping alive. To raise well, it's a drop in the ocean. Therefore, any government that wants to change this trend will face difficulties with taxes and benefits. If there's anything that could reverse this, I think people need to see more personal perspectives, because having children has shifted from investment to consumption, and consumption comes from optimism about the future. When people are optimistic, they consume, even beyond what they can afford. But if that consumption means self-destruction, they naturally won't want to. In this current environment, all I can say is, looking back, Eileen Chang's words are incredibly accurate. If the birth of a child is to inherit your exhaustion, panic, and poverty, then not having children is also an act of kindness.
I'll leave the video here, but I'd like to know your point of view on this law. It's already bizarre enough that we have to pay taxes to support government social projects that help people who don't deserve help, or insignificant projects that don't benefit us in any way. If you don't have money, don't bring a child into the world to suffer a life of misery and indignity. This is the basic thing any consistent person should keep in mind. But the world is made up of a majority of ignorant people. Leave your comment and share your opinion with everyone. If you like the video, leave a like and subscribe to the channel for more videos like this. See you in the next video.